Welcome to the Victory Worship Center podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Jody LaFleur. For more information, visit victoryworshipcenter.com.
Grab your Bibles. We're going to begin in Psalm 19. It'll also be on our screens if you don't have your Bible with you. Although I encourage you to bring a Bible. I think maybe we've lost something not carrying our Bibles around. I just think there ought to be a paper Bible in every believer's house. I like the digital stuff. I mean, I get it, but there's just something about this, right? It's got a smell to it. I don't know, but yeah. Hey, we're starting a new series this morning. We're calling True North, and I want to take this time, first of all, we've got a creative team that designs, isn't this cool? We got this creative team that designs this stuff, and this is a team that gets very little acknowledgement, but man, we are so blessed by what they do. And so Shannon and Morgan and Jay and some of these other guys, they create all this for us. Aren't they fantastic? Give them a big hand, appreciate them for what they do for us. This series is called True North, and it's one of the more important series I think we're going to do, at least in here recently. There's a lot of topics I'd love to be preaching on. I love to preach, and I love to inspire and motivate and encourage you guys. But you know, our vision is to raise disciples, and so sometimes as we're raising disciples, we actually need a little teaching time. It may not give us goosebumps, but we need it, right? And so if we're actually being transformed into something, if we're moving forward in the discipleship, into our discipleship identities, then we need some teaching. And so this series, we're going to be examining what it means to have a biblical worldview. And we're going to address some issues in our culture that we as believers need to have a firm grasp on. And so we're going to walk over the next few weeks, we're going to walk over some cultural things, through some cultural things, and find out what the Word of God says about it. But this morning we're going to begin in Psalms 19, beginning in verse 7. If we can put it up here, let's read together. It says, the instructions of the Lord are what? So the instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commands of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. That's interesting, giving insight for living. So the commands of the Lord are clear and they give us insight for living. Next verse. Reverence for the Lord is pure. If you're reading in the King James, it says fear of the Lord is clean, but reverence for the Lord is pure and it lasts forever. The laws of the Lord are true. Each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold. Interesting. That's one of those things we'll pass right over if we're not careful. What he's saying is the instructions, the commands, the laws of the Lord are more desirable than gold. I don't know if in your economy this works, but I mean, that's a challenge to me, saying more than anything else that I'm pursuing, right? Because gold has extreme value. So what it's saying is, you know, there's value in gold, there's valuable in material things, but above all that, above even the finest of material things, my desire is for the laws and commands and decrees of the Lord, right? They are sweeter than honey, even dripping from the comb. Interesting, because you know sometimes we can think the laws of God, the commands of God, the rules of the kingdom of God are burdensome, are heavy. No. He's saying the laws, the commands, the instructions of God, they're sweet to the taste. That's countercultural, right? Because everything in the world is saying, no, you're missing out. If you do it God's way, you're missing something. You're somehow being cheated from the rewards of this time on earth if you live according to the ways of God. But it says here that the laws are actually sweet. I desire them. I want them. It's this heart that says, Lord, tell me what to do. Tell me how to walk. Tell me how to follow you. I'm yours, Lord God. You've saved me. You've given me a new identity. You've robbed me from hell and you've brought me into new life. How can I not but walk after you and say, Lord, you're my God. You're my master. You're my teacher. Tell me what to do and I'll do it. Tell me where to go and I'll go there. That's the heart I'm hearing in this passage. Are you tracking with me? Verse 11, that meaning the instructions, the commands of the Lord, are a warning to your servant and a great reward for those who obey them. It's not a withdrawal, it's actually a deposit. It's a great reward to obey the laws and decrees of God. Interesting, right? Now, we're going to jump to 2 Timothy, and I want to show you another passage here. 2 Timothy 3, beginning in verse 16. All scripture is inspired by God. If you're reading in the King James, it says, all scripture is God-breathed. So in other words, the origin of scripture, the origin of this book is not man. It's not earthly. It's not carnal. It's not human. All scripture is inspired by God. Now, we have... You know, we delve into the Greek from time to time. And so the word all in the Greek means, right. So not some scripture is inspired by God. It says all scripture is inspired by God. And is useful. So it's inspired by God and it's useful to do what? To teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us. Ouch. The Word of God corrects us. We don't correct it. It corrects us, right? So it corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right, verse 17. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. The Word of God equips us and prepares us to do every good work. And so this series, we're talking about True North. And with that title, it made me bring out the old compass. I keep this in my hunting bag because I hunt. Amen. Hallelujah. And if you, I've got some hunting buddies in the house, and if those who know me know that I need one of these, because I'm the guy who can kind of get out there. So a compass is an interesting tool. A compass, what it does is when you use it, it'll find true north. Your compass will, it'll find where true north is. And once you have a bearing on where true north is, if you want to go east, you know how to go east. How? Because you understand where true north is. So that gives me a reference. I can go east or west or south. I can go anywhere based on the fact that this thing has pointed out true north to me. And another interesting thing about a compass is it works anywhere in the world, anywhere on the planet. You can use one of these things and it'll find where true north is. Now, I've been in some places where I've needed one of these. I mean, I've been in some situations where I've really needed a compass, and like I said, I keep it in my hunting bag, and I pull it out from time to time. And here's what I found with using a compass. Well, first of all, is you got to stop and use it. If you've ever been lost, in the woods, your tendency is to go quick somewhere. Right? I mean, you're just moving in some direction. I got to get to something. And so one of the tricks is to actually stop and pull this out. Actually stop and look at the compass. Next thing, this one right here, it has an air bubble in it. And what I found is I've got to hold it kind of careful and I use it like a level. I watch that air bubble and it can make sure that this thing is absolutely level. And so I'm getting a real good heading a real good picture of true north so I can really commit to it, right?
And so, first of all, I got to get it out. Second of all, I've got to just hold it steady. I've got to meditate on it. I've got to give it my full attention. And then the third part is using a compass. You got to check it often. So if I find myself in where I'm lost, I grab my compass, first of all, get it out, grab it, hold it steady, meditate on it, focus on it. And then as you're traveling, refer to it often. And I found that if you'll do that, you can get out of trouble. I've got one point for you this morning. One point. I'm going to make it really simple. I'm going to do it here at the beginning. Here it is. The Word of God is our compass. The Word of God is our compass. You see, a compass is especially useful if you get into a place like in the ocean where there's no visible landmarks. You know, everything looks the same. A compass is really valuable then because, again, it can point you to a true north. Another place that a compass is really useful is in an environment where things are so thick and obstructing your view and you can't see the sun and you can't see things. You need something. A compass is really good at helping you decide your heading in those specific environments. But again, you've got to stop, you got to focus on it, meditate on it, and you got to refer to it often. We are in a world today that is more like the jungle than the ocean. Because it's not that there's a lack of stuff around us. There is clutter around us in the culture. And we're not sure what's what and who's who and what this thing is supposed to look like. My one point today is this is your compass. This is our compass. The media is not our compass. Donald Trump is not our compass, right? The government is not our compass. The radio, the TV, the computer, Wikipedia isn't our compass. None of that stuff is our compass. Now, it's screaming at you to be your compass. But this, church, this, the Word of God, is how a Christian can navigate the culture and stay on track. We've got to find true north, and this is the compass that points us to true north. This is ultimate truth. If you want to, if something pops up in the world and you're interested in what your opinion should be about it, check here. Check here. And then what that opinion is, this opinion molds to this opinion. This opinion doesn't mold to this opinion. Right? So this is the compass that points us to true north. The Bible is our compass. We read in Psalm 119, it says, His instructions are perfect. His decrees are trustworthy. His commandments are right. His commands are clear. Reverence for the Lord is pure. His laws are true. They are more desirable than gold. They are a warning to His servants. 2 Timothy says, all scripture is inspired by God. His word teaches us what's right and wrong, and it equips us and prepares us as His people. The Word of God is our compass. Hallelujah. Why are we talking about this morning? Because the environment we live in, things are shifting, things are changing. In fact, I think the word of the day is, in the current culture, is you don't have to follow the North Star. You can navigate by any star that makes you feel good. We're pushing aside the landmarks, those things that have traditionally held us as a society. We have pushed those aside and we're saying, just follow a star and it'll get you there. And we have forfeited the North Star. Let me give you some examples of this. Some current examples from the culture that we live in. The idea of marriage. Traditionally, marriage has been between a man and a woman. Any arguments? We all agree? Thousands of years. Man, woman, right? Well, I did a Google search, which is dangerous, by the way, but I did a Google search on marriage, and here's what I found. That there are people these days who have chosen to marry themselves. There's a man in China and a woman in the Netherlands and another one in Taiwan who just decided, you know, I just need the perfect mate. I just need someone of the utmost qualities, and therefore they have decided to marry themselves. A Hindu woman in India married a snake in 2006. I read about people who've married their dog, their cat, their horse. Marriage has changed. I saw people who are marrying structures. There's a woman from San Francisco who married the Eiffel Tower. I'm not getting the response out of you guys that I thought I was going to get out of this stuff. I saw that, this is one Google search. There was a man who married a digital woman. A man who married a pillow. Somebody married a roller coaster, a doll, and a pot. It's funny and it's crazy. It just doesn't make sense, right? I mean, you don't have to be the smartest guy in the room to know that something's gone off, right? So true north is hard to find anymore because all this stuff has been thrown at us. Another example from today is the idea of gender. Traditionally, gender was based on one's biology, and as I was researching this, I found that there's now distinction. Culture is calling for a distinction between sex and gender. The two used to mean the same. What sex are you and what gender are you? Now, sex tends more to do with the actual biology of a person, but gender has taken on this interesting turn. I actually read in one article that suggests that there are 63 different genders. I saw another article from 58. So between 58 and 63 genders. Now this is comical, but church, we have torn away from our moorings and the culture is adrift. And if we don't get it right, if we don't have a compass, if we're not set on true north, we might drift off with it. So this is important, this is urgent. And I tell you, I understand gender dysphoria. I'm not making fun of these people. I believe that there's some people who are really hurting out there and they're confused and they don't understand what they are. They need hope, they need help. They need the church to be the church. So I'm not laughing at them. I'm not making fun of them. I'm just saying we've gotta have the truth in us so we can bring the truth to the people around us, to the world around us. But we gotta find out where it is, dig in, use this as our compass and not let media and the world and culture dictate what truth is to us. So this is why we're talking about this today, but the question for why are we doing this series, I found a research by the Barna Research Group. If you know who George Barna is, he does surveys and research from culture. And a nationwide survey done recently by George Barna found out that in American culture, only 4% of Americans have a biblical worldview. Only 4% of Americans have a biblical worldview. Among born-again believers, only 9% do. I heard on a radio broadcast the other day that put that percentage at 17% for born-again Christians. So let's say 20%. Let's bump it up to 20%. Let's say that 20% of born-again Christians don't have a biblical worldview. Church, it's a problem. It's a problem. See, we were put here to be salt and light. We were put here to be God's ambassadors and representative here on the earth. But if we don't understand what the word says, if we don't have a good solid fix on true north and on what truth is, how are we going to be salt and light in our community? We've got to have what we're calling a biblical worldview. Well, what is a worldview? A worldview is the framework from which we view reality and make sense of life and the world around us. It's kind of our, it's that overarching idea of what life is, who God is, how we relate to God, how we relate, how God relates to man. And so a worldview is just, it's kind of how we view the world around us. Here's a quote by George Barnett. It says this: although most people own a Bible and know some of its content, our research found that most Americans have little idea how to integrate core biblical principles to form a unified and meaningful response to the challenges and opportunities of life. Here's my condensed version of that. We all got Bibles, none of us know what to do with it. And it's an epidemic in the world, and it's an epidemic in the body of Christ. Don't shout me down now. So we've got to get ourselves focused. We've got to understand what true north is. We've got to understand how to use our word to get us there. Our vision at Victory is for every believer to become a disciple. We're not interested in entertaining you. We're not interested in you coming here and having a great experience. I hope that happens, but that's not our ultimate goal. Our vision here at Victory is to raise disciples. But how can you be a disciple if you are not following the directions and the laws and commands of the one who's teaching you? And I don't want to be overly harsh with this, but I do question us, how is it okay for me to call myself a Christian and not follow the ways of Christ? I'm not saying anybody's going to hell. I'm not trying to bring all that into it. But I'm just saying, so many of us, we don't know what Christ teaches, yet we call ourselves a Christian. We need our compass. We need to find true north. So what we're after here is helping all of us grow in what's called a biblical worldview. Let me give you a picture, an idea of what a biblical worldview is. It's when you believe the Bible to be entirely true, then you allow it to be the foundation of everything you do and say. When you believe the Bible to be entirely true, then you allow it to be the foundation of everything you do and say. May God work that work in us here in this church. May we be a gathering of people with those values. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Do it, Lord. I had a opportunity to have a conversation with a lady the other day who's a generation above me, and we were talking, and this lady, we were just talking about life and talking about some different things, and she said, I don't know, I don't know if it's crazy or not, but I've just always been the type, when I read my Bible and it tells me to do something, I do it. And if I read my Bible and it tells me not to do something, I don't do it. And something just leapt in me, because here's where I believe we are. Tell me if you think this is right. I believe the generation above me, my parents' generation, there was still that connection to morality. There was that connection, there was that North Star in place. There was true north identified, and people followed the rules, and they stuck to a code of godliness. But something has happened recently, and we have a generation now who right and wrong is based on my feelings. It's based on sympathy. It's based on empathy. It's based on all these different things. And most of the time, it's pure motives. It's you care for people, and so you don't want to say this is wrong, or you don't want to say this is right. We don't want to commit to these things. We don't want to be labeled a bigot. We don't want to be, ostracized as someone who, you know what I'm saying? And so we've lost our moorings. And what I challenge this woman to do, and what I challenge every one of you in the generation above me, is be a mentor to the people, to the generation under you. Bring back the idea of godliness. Bring back the idea of morality. Bring back the idea of being a solid man and woman of God who stands on his principles and is committed to do what's right and to be what's right. Not talking about being perfect, not talking about earning your salvation, not talking about works, talking about being people whose heart and is set on pleasing the Lord and living a life that honors God. Can I challenge you, generation above me? Be our mentors, be our helpers, train us, encourage us, help us to establish our families once again on the morality of the Word of God. We've got to get this right, church. We've got to get this right, and I believe we're in an urgent time. The enemy has eroded the moral fabric of our culture. And you know, I'm just old enough now to kind of see a little bit of history. Not much, but there's a little history behind me. And you know, you look at the things that are happening in the world today, and you're like, okay, how did we get here? I mean, a woman married the Eiffel Tower. My grandparents wouldn't even have thought of it. I mean, it just wouldn't even have registered in their brain. How did we get here? Can I tell you, we didn't get here fast. We got here by a methodic, systematic eroding of the moral fabric of our nation. And it was done very cunningly. I personally believe music and TV were on the cutting edge of shaping this culture. Look back into the 60s and one of my favorite shows, I still watch it all the time, The Andy Griffith Show. Best show ever. Best show ever. Andy Griffith Show introduced single parent homes to us. And the Andy Griffith Show even introduced us to smoking. Good old Andy, right? It wasn't a huge jump, but I believe the Andy Griffith Show, as good as it is, tweaked some things in our culture, right? And then look, decade after decade, the sitcoms that came out that have tweaked our culture. Do y'all see this or is it just me? I just see that this has steered us. And especially if they introduce it in humor, we suck it up like a Hoover vacuum cleaner. We all laughed at Jerry Seinfeld when he said, not that there's anything wrong with that. Talking about homosexuality, the episode with homosexuality. Every time they use the word homosexuality or gay, he said, not that there was anything wrong with that. And we all chuckled and laughed and we sucked it in. And I believe little by little, the enemy has eroded our culture. Now, if you and I have been affected by the erosion of our culture, me as an adult raised in a godly home, if I have been affected by the culture, what hope is there for my children and my grandchildren? Listen, our children and grandchildren will pay the price for our compromise and mediocrity in our walk with God. We've got to get it right. It's time to go back to the book, go back to the Bible, grab hold of it, put the anchor down and say, Lord, I'm gonna let you tell me what truth is. I'm not gonna accept the culture or the world's definition or our criteria for right and wrong. I wanna know what's in the Word. And so I wanna challenge you, church. I want to challenge you to let every thought you ever think be filtered through the Word of God. Anything that pops up in the world that you need an opinion on, go to the Word of God, because the Word of God is true. The Word of God is perfect. The Word of God is clear. The Word of God will teach us. The Word will equip us. The Word will give us the knowledge that we need in order to succeed in this world. So my challenge to you today, church, is don't even take it from preachers. Don't take it from people on TV or on the internet or somebody who sounds good or looks good. Go to the Word of God. If you find it in here, it's truth. Use the compass, let it point out true north, and set your course based on that, church. So if this is gonna happen in our lives, we have to use the same instructions that we have with our compass. First of all, anytime we feel confused, stop, grab the compass. You're gonna have to then slow down and meditate on it. You gotta hold it just right, right? And meditate on it, and then you're gonna have to consult it frequently. If we're gonna find true north, if we're gonna establish ourselves in the things of God, we've gotta make sure that we're grabbing this, that we're meditating on it carefully, and that we are referring to it often. And I believe if we do that, then we'll be okay. Not just okay, we'll be effective in this culture. Can I tell you, the world is still crying for truth. People need truth. People need truth. And so let's have the truth in us so that we can be a source of truth to the people around us. Are you with me? Give the Lord a big hand. Come on. Here's what I want to do in closing. So over the next few weeks, what I wanted to do here today, you notice those sentences that I worked backwards? Did you hear those sentences? Okay. I just realized I did it, so. Okay. The next few weeks, what we're going to do in this series is we're going to take some of the topics of the day and we're going to go over them, and we're actually going to address some topics. And we're actually gonna find out what the word has to say about some current events. And again, if you're religious, this may offend you. But by God, let's let the word of God, let's fall on the rock and be broken rather than the rock falling on us and crushing us to powder, right? And our heart is not to be ugly. I mean, it's just not. We love, I mean, there are people trapped in error, and we don't want that. I don't want to be in error. So I'm willing for my course to be corrected at any moment. And so all we're going to do is equip ourselves so that we can be a source of salt and light to the world around us. So that's what we're going to be doing over the course of this series. But I wanted to refer to a scripture as we close here today. We read this in part of our text in Psalm 19, and it says this, Psalm 19:9, reverence for the Lord is pure. Reverence for the Lord is pure. The laws of the Lord are true. Each one is fair, but at least that, the beginning of that. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. And here's what I want to do. I want those of us who this resonates in our heart, this idea that God, I want to be pure. I want to live a pure, clean life based on the fear or reverence for the Lord. Out of love for you, God, I want my life to reflect your laws. I would like for those of you who that is just resonating in your heart, I want us to pray a prayer, and I hope it's most of us, maybe even all of us, but please don't do it according to peer pressure. But I want to do is I want to pray a prayer. Now, this is where it gets weird. You know, usually we have you stand up and come to the altar and everything. You know what? I just felt like the Lord put in my spirit today that how about we get on our knees before the Lord? And so, again, no pressure. Here's how I want to do this. If you would like to pray this prayer and commit your life new to the idea of living a reverent, pure, clean life before the Lord, can I invite you to slip to your knees right now, right there where you're sitting? If you can get there, if you can get there in front of your chairs. If you just want to stay seated too, that's fine. All the Catholics in the house happy? All right, would you bow your head and would you begin talking to the Lord right now about this idea? Lord, your word says that reverence for the Lord is pure, it's clean, and lasts forever. We read earlier, Lord God, that where the psalmist said, may the thoughts of my heart and the words of my mouth be pleasing to you. Lord, I commit my life to you today again in Jesus' name. And Lord, I commit, I want to live a clean, pure life out of reverence and honor and love and fear for you. Lord, would you work in me? Would you do that work in me, Lord God, so that this desire is not just on a Sunday morning in an auditorium full of believers, but it's with me Monday morning on the job. It's with me Tuesday afternoon. It's with me wherever I go, Lord God. Do this work in us in Jesus' name. May we be a gathering of the church that is marked by reverence from the Lord and an idea of truth that's come straight from the Word of God. Lord, as we look in your word, give us revelation, Lord. There may be people today who are going to go home and open your word and start addressing their own thoughts and ideas about right and wrong. And Lord, I pray that you give them revelation. Holy Spirit, you're the teacher. And so teach us as we open the word, tutor us, show us what it means to walk after you as a disciple. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to go to victoryworshipcenter.com to get involved.